We've been talking about anticipating Christmas and kind of build on the theme of the Advent. And I always enjoy doing our Advent candles each year. You know, the first week, you know, we talk about hope and, you know, we lit this candle. And the second week we talked about peace and we lit that candle. And today we're going to be talking about joy. It's the third candle. And then next week, and then Christmas Eve, you know, we always come together Christmas Eve and we light this beautiful white candle, which is the Christ candle. Do you remember what we say? We always say the same thing every year, and it's usually something like this. Tonight, we come to the moment that we've all been waiting for. And we light the Christ candle, symbolizing the birth of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but there's just something about when we do that, that it's just really powerful. It's a really powerful moment when we stop and recognize, you know, what God has done. And He's given us joy. Now, it's not that way for everybody. Matter of fact, did you hear the story about the woman who was out doing some last Christmas shopping and she was kind of frantic? And she had her little toddler in tow, and she was kind of just dragging this little kid everywhere, you know, all the stores looking for this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, during the commotion, she realized that her toddler was no longer holding on to her hand. And then she was frantic. You know, she was like searching for the child. She was calling him by name. And finally, she found the little boy looking through a window at a nativity display. And as she was hollering out his name, he turned and in the innocence of a small child said, "Mommy, Mommy, it's Jesus. He's lying in the manger." And the woman, the mother, got her little boy by the hand and pulled him away and said, "We don't have time for this." Really? I mean, is that where some of us are? That we've allowed the rush of the season to rob us of the true meaning of Christmas? What is it that we always say? We always say that it's the most, what? Wonderful time of the year. Is it really? I mean, is it really the most wonderful? Did you just laugh at my singing? Yeah. Is it really the most wonderful time of the year? Because a lot of times we've allowed the things of the world to rob us of our joy. You know, before I get to my text this morning, let me give you just a few thoughts from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 8 says, "Wherever they look, there will be trouble and anguish and dark despair. They will be thrown out into the darkness." That's what the prophet said. And I think that describes well our living conditions, our society today. But yet one chapter later in Isaiah 9 verses 1 and 2, he says, "Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light, a light that will shine on all who live in the land where death casts its shadow." I mean, Isaiah was speaking there of the coming of Jesus many years later. He also said in Isaiah chapter 9, "For a child is born to us, a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders. These will be his royal titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus is our Wonderful Counselor. He is our Mighty God. He's our Father who cares for us and gives us his peace in the midst of our storms and darkness. You know, even though some of us don't experience Christmas joy, we always sing about it, don't we? We sing, "O Holy Night, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices." That's right. We sing, "O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. We always sing joy to the world. Come on, John, I got to help you, right? I got to give you at least the word. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. We sing about it, don't we? You see, Christmas declares joy to the world. The Lord has come. And God's desire is that we would experience the good tidings of great joy proclaimed by the angels over 2,000 years ago. Did you know that you can type the word joy into a search engine in the Bible 650 times? 650 times in the Bible, it speaks of joy or rejoicing or gladness. I mean, the Christmas story is oozing with joy, isn't it? Luke chapter 1, Zechariah was told by the angel, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Luke tells us that John the Baptist leaped for joy in his mother's womb when Mary came into her presence. Luke also tells us that Mary rejoiced in God her Savior. And they were rejoicing when Elizabeth was said to be with child. And then this beautiful verse from Luke chapter 2. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. You see, folks, in the midst of our despair, the Christmas story declares for us not just joy, but great joy. And I think as believers, we have to understand the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is based on our circumstances. We're happy because something. We're happy in spite of something. But joy, and don't ever forget this, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, not happiness. The Bible doesn't say that happiness is the fruit of the Spirit, because we can be happy or unhappy based on what is going on in our lives or what is happening to us. But joy, we can have joy in spite of our pain, in spite of our problems, in spite of our cares. Are you experiencing joy? Are you experiencing great joy? Last night, I went out to eat with a friend. And we went to a local restaurant, and we went kind of early. We went at 4:30 because we wanted to beat the rush. But when we got to the restaurant, we went in, and the lady gave us a pager, and she said it'll be 35, 40 minutes. I said, okay. So we took our place there with the throng of people that were waiting. I was struck by two things. One was the music that was playing, which many of the songs were Christmas songs. I even heard Joy to the World. And I heard Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. But the second thing I was struck by was the people around us. I heard somebody say, oh my goodness, they should have made this place bigger. There's not enough room here for people to wait. I heard somebody else go up to the hostess and complain that they had been waiting too long. And there were people in a rush to get up to get their table. There were people trying to leave, and they were all congested in this one place. And as I was hearing the Christmas music above my head, I was hearing all these complaints from people around us. And I thought, that's Christmas in America today. You know, and I thought to myself, you know what? God, help me to experience the joy of Christmas. In spite of the rushing crowds, in spite of the pain, in spite of the problems and difficulties, because it really should be the most wonderful time of the year. And that the message of Christmas is that God, in the birth of His Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, that it was going to be two things. Number one, it was going to be good news. And number two, that it was going to bring joy, not just joy, but it was going to bring great joy. Did you ever hear the story about the church that was going to be putting on a little kids pageant? You remember these? We've done these here over the years, you know, where you get little children to play the parts of Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds. And in this particular pageant that year, this one little boy, he really wanted the part of Joseph. He thought, you know, man, I'd be a great Joseph. And he really wanted to be Joseph, so he tried to get the part of Joseph. And when the director of the pageant gave out the parts, he wasn't Joseph. And the sad thing was that the little boy that played the part or got the part of Joseph was a little fellow that this little guy didn't like. They were kind of rivals. They weren't very friendly. And the guy that wanted to play Joseph but didn't get to play Joseph decided that he was going to do something to make it really hard on this other kid. So they came to the practices. They had all their lines down pat. And when it came time for the pageant, Mary and Joseph were walking across the stage, and Joseph knocked on the door of the inn. And the little boy that was kind of upset because he didn't get the part of Joseph, he opened the door and he said, what can I do for you? And Joseph said, we need a room for the night. My wife is pregnant and is about to give birth. And the innkeeper, the little boy that was the innkeeper, he looked at Joseph and he said, sure, come on in. I'll give you the best room in the house. And Joseph, he just kind of stood there for a minute, and finally he kind of thought quickly on his feet, and he looked past the fella into the inn and he said, this place is a dump. I'd never let my wife stay here. Come on, honey, we're going to the barn. Are you able to do that? Or do you let the absence of happiness to rob you also of your joy? I've been in the presence of people that were dying who had tremendous joy. I've sat with people who were experiencing great loss but had not lost their joy. I've been with individuals whose life was vacant of happiness but was full of joy. You see, that's why when Matthew says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Some people think that they can't have joy in their lives because of their troubles. James says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and troubles, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Don't ever forget, folks, that joy is different than happiness. Happiness is based on our circumstances. And when circumstances are good, we're happy. When circumstances are bad, we're sad. But if you have that fruit of the Spirit, if you have that joy in increasing measure, there's nothing that can take it away from you. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord will give you strength. And in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. There is great joy. You know, I think this is a great little illustration of what I mean. Are you more like Eeyore or Tigger? Well, sometimes I can be Eeyore, can't you? Poor, pitiful me. Oh my goodness. Today is terrible and tomorrow will be worse. Any Eeyores? You know, I want to be more like Tigger. You know, what does Tigger do? Tigger do. Tigger just bounces back and forth. You know, he's just like ping, ping, ping. Right? And he's always putting his arm around his good friend Eeyore and trying to cheer him up. Trying to help him have a better attitude, help him to see life differently. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like that God has put you here to kind of help the Eeyores of life have a different outlook, to see things better? But here's the thing, folks. Eeyore has a pretty good life. He just couldn't see past his negativity to realize all of his blessings. And folks, I just want you to know that what God is trying to show us with this idea of joy is to understand that this is the gift that God wants to give us. He wants us to anticipate hope. He wants us to anticipate peace, but he wants us to anticipate joy, great joy to all people. That is the good news. And when we allow ourselves to do that, we can realize that really Christmas declares joy to the world because the Lord has come. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was at Sam's Club, and there was a couple of older folks from church here they saw me there. And I was actually rummaging through a table of little boys' pajamas. I was buying Christmas presents for Arlene. And it was just neat, the exchange that these folks and I had there amongst the 3T set of pajamas. And it was all about joy. The joy of Christmas, the joy of grandchildren, and the joy of giving. You know, you think about that word joy, and I'll never forget back when I was a youngster, Marguerite Jones, my Sunday school teacher at my little church in Virginia, she was talking to us about joy, and she said that joy, and to experience joy, you need to have your priorities straight. I never forgot this my whole life, and I still think about it anytime I see that little three-letter word, because she said the priorities of experiencing joy is to put Jesus first and others before yourself. Joy. J-O-Y. Jesus first and others before yourself. And she said, you know what? If you want to have joy, put Jesus first and put others before yourselves. Because think about it, most of the time when we experience joy stealers, it's because we think of something that's been wrong to us. But if we realize what God has given us at Christmas time, and how God has reached down and loved us and cared for us in spite of all of our sins. Did you ever hear the story about the store owner who was selling puppies? And a little boy came up to the store owner there one day and saw the sign that said puppies for sale. And he said, how much are the puppies? And the store owner replied, well, they're anywhere from $30 to $50. And the little boy counted his money and he said, all I have is $2.37. But can I look at them? Store owner smiled and whistled over to his helper in the kennel, and he turned the little five tiny fur balls loose. And he noticed that one little puppy was lagging considerably behind. The little boy saw that. He noticed that, and he asked about that puppy, and the owner told him that that one was born without a hip socket, and it would always be kind of lame. And the little boy said, "I want that one." Store owner said, "No, son, you don't want that little dog. You want one of the other ones. Save up your money and you can buy one of those." The little boy said, "I want that one." So the store owner saw his determination and said, "Okay. Well, guess what? I'm selling that one for $2.37. And the little boy said, "No, I'm going to save my money and I want to pay you $50. To which the owner said, "No, no, no, son, you don't have to pay full price for that one. Just give me the money you have and you can have that little puppy." And the little boy said, "No." He said, "Because I want that little puppy to know for his whole life that he is as valuable as any other puppy in all the world." You see, that little lame puppy was you and me. And God sent his son, who ultimately died for us and paid a great price for our redemption. And you know what, folks? If that doesn't cause your heart to experience joy, I don't know what else could. But you see, folks, the good tidings of great joy that we sing about is what Christmas is all about. It's all about God coming near. So let's keep Christ in Christmas this year and celebrate this beautiful reason, joy, for this beautiful season. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." What's the last four words? "Which is for you." Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for giving us safety to come to this place today. Thank you, Father, that you laid on the hearts of these people a desire to be here this morning. Even though, Lord, it's cold and snowy outside and even slippery, God, thank you. Thank you that we're here. Thank you, Lord, that we can anticipate Christmas. And that today, Lord, we can anticipate not just joy, but great joy. God, show us and teach us and convince us that it's not happiness that we seek, but it's the joy that comes from you. And Lord, as we share together this beautiful song, I pray, Father, that we could confess our sins to you. That, Lord, we could become close to you or closer to you. And that, Lord, we could be convinced that we could have not just joy, but great joy. Joy, Lord, that could never be taken away by any circumstance of life. God, may that be our Christmas present this year. May that be what we anticipate from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.